This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Monday, March 19th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's sunny, but it's a little chilly. Right now, 44 degrees at O'Hare, 39 at the lakefront. The five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. And the market so far today, it's a day you'd rather forget. Let's get the details now from Adrian Mitchell at Bloomberg.
Yeah, pretty brutal, Rob and Chris. The Dow is down 395 points now. That's more than 1.5%. The NASDAQ down 178, or more than 2%. And the S&P also down nearly 2%, 46 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also down more than 1%. Stocks have been falling across the globe, led by a sell-off in technology shares. And as investors brace themselves for a week that includes a central bank decision on interest rates, Wall Street shares are slumping as tech companies are being roiled by weekend reports of a Facebook data breach and Apple's effort to develop its own screens. Facebook shares have been down by the most in more than 5 years. Right now, they're down 7%. The week's biggest focus for global markets, though, the first U.S. interest rate decision under the new Fed chair, Jay Powell, comes after he hinted to investors that he may be open to lifting the policy rate four times this year, rather than the three currently reflected in Fed forecasts. Robin, Chris?
Thanks, Adrienne. On today's Noon Business Hour, more on what is behind today's fall on Wall Street, Facebook being one of the biggest losers. Why is that?
And then retail strikes back. Macy's and Walmart are taking on a couple of innovations to draw shoppers back into brick-and-mortar stores. And, of course, it's Stock Picker Monday, and our stock picker will step up to the table with a couple of suggestions for you. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Facebook finds itself in the middle of a controversy involving targeted political ads. We'll explore that in our next segment. But right now, the week ahead includes a meeting of the Fed, reports on housing, manufacturing, a looming deadline to avert a government shutdown. We are talking with Tom Hudson, a week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. And before we skip to the week ahead, let's talk about right now and what we're seeing on Wall Street.
Yeah, some bloodletting here, right? I mean, the Dow Industrial selling seems to be picking up considerably. Obviously, the news around Facebook and concerns about how it's sharing and using user data, fueling the sell-off that we saw sparked early today and has continued on and kind of gathered some strength with the technology firms. Apple, for instance, down about 2%. That's going to bring down a lot of the mutual funds and ETFs because it's such a large company and holds such a strong position, leading position in so many different indices. You can't help but see red on the screen when you got big companies like this, and especially those 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average that are moving lower today. I think I've got all 30 down now on the screen. So that's certainly happening, but obviously it's not just Facebook, right? It's also concern about the Trump administration and the steel tariffs and how it's going to approach this looming potential of a government shutdown. And then, of course, what's going to happen with the Federal Reserve when the new chairman, Jerome Powell, takes to the microphone Wednesday afternoon and talks, yes, about interest rates, but more importantly, really about the Fed's understanding of the inflationary picture.
This has been a period up until a day like today. It's been a period in which there's been a lot of optimism about the markets and the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you still look at the economic drivers, right? I mean, this job number that we had last month, very, very strong, incredibly strong wage growth there, but tempered from all of the inflation concerns we had 6 weeks or so ago. Consumer confidence is still relatively high. Interest rates, yes, are moving higher in the bond market, but still historically low when you look back over the course of a couple of decades. Small business optimism remains very strong. So the economic factors still remain very good. But remember, those don't move day to day. It's stock prices that move day to day, and that's going to grab your attention when you see a triple point move down like we are here midday for the Dow Industrials.
Reboots are all the rage in Hollywood, and they apparently are fairly trendy in Washington because we're looking at yet another government shutdown if Congress doesn't agree to a spending plan by Friday. What is the impact on the economy if there is a shutdown, or has this just become old hat by this point?
It's a little bit like, how many times can you see the same disaster movie and be surprised about the disaster or being, you know, pulled out of the fire at the very last moment? We've seen this picture before. I think the markets mostly are neutralized to it. But, of course, it depends on how long it lasts, right? The longer a federal government shutdown lasts, the more real economic damage it's going to cause. Otherwise, it's more like maybe a snowstorm or a blizzard, in the late spring. It's frustrating, but ultimately you clean it up over the course of a few hours or a few days, and you're able to move on.
So this is the beyond the Poseidon adventure of economic impact events, basically.
I hope it's not quite like that, maybe. Yeah, well, but close.
Well, thanks a lot. Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist with McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Coming up, Facebook at the center of a controversy involving political advertising.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's belief among some analysts that Facebook is suffering major damage to its reputation because of a scandal involving user information and political advertising. Let's take a closer look with Sarah Fryer, who is a reporter with Bloomberg based in San Francisco. Sarah, welcome back to the program. What is the Reader's Digest summary of the scandal involving Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, which played a role in the 2016 election here?
So when people use the Facebook login tool, sometimes they give the app that they're using permissions to use some of their data. So a few years ago, this Cambridge professor was doing a personality quiz app, and it asked users not only for their information, but for information from their friends. So 270,000 users in turn gave this Cambridge professor information on 50 million people. And then this researcher went and gave that information to Cambridge Analytica. So what the researcher did was actually all fine and good by Facebook's policies, but once he shared that information with a third party, it became against Facebook policies and exposed people's data in a way that they had not consented to.
And what is the difference between what Cambridge Analytica did and what Facebook offers advertisers, you know, the type of information that they could give to businesses so they could properly target their ads on Facebook?
So the business models are very similar. I mean, Facebook runs by charging advertisers to target people in very specific ways using the demographic information that they give into Facebook in their activity. So the big problem here, though, is that Facebook didn't have any visibility into how the data was being used by a third party. And so when people signed over their Facebook data, that data wasn't kept safe. And in 2015, Facebook found out about it. They tried to certify that the data was deleted, and then they found out, because of these great news reports in the New York Times and the Guardian over the weekend, that it was not, in fact, deleted. And then so this weekend, they suspended Cambridge Analytica and the researcher and Christopher Wiley, the person who was a whistleblower who was also involved in this. So it's become this this situation that they've known about for so long, and people are asking, lawmakers are asking, why are we only finding out about this now? Why has Facebook not been a good steward of information that we provide them?
And Facebook is paying for it today, down more than 7 percentage points, the stock is. Is there any indication that there was misuse of the information?
Well, this information, Cambridge Analytica, for their side of the story, they say that they deleted the information. But Cambridge Analytica, after this relationship with this researcher who focused on sort of psychographic profiles of people, then went and further built their political advertising business and worked with Donald Trump's campaign and helped get him elected. So we don't know if this data was used in that campaign, and Facebook tells me they actually have no way of knowing, which is also interesting. But we do know that this kind of tactic, the the ability of Cambridge Analytica to gather information on large swaths of the electorate. I mean, this is advertised on their website. It's something that they're able to do. They're able to understand who is best to target with messages, what they might respond if they're given a certain kind of advertisement. And that kind of information is very helpful for running any sort of campaign.
Sarah, thanks so much for all the great information. Sarah Fryer is a reporter at Bloomberg in San Francisco. Still ahead, a couple of major moves in retail involving Macy's and Walmart.
WBBM News Time 12:25, the latest in the market, sponsored by Baird. Here's Adrian Mitchell at Bloomberg.
Stocks down about 2% all around right now. The Dow down 434 points. That's 1.75%. The NASDAQ down 186, and the S&P down 53 points, nearly 2%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also down more than 1.5%. Facebook leading stocks lower following reports that that advertising data firm that helped the president win got user data from Facebook. Now here's Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Adrian. Grain markets are lower as we go through the noon hour. More fallout from the steel and aluminum tariffs announcements been the main feature. The EU has put U.S. corn and rice on their list. Also, a wetter forecast in the southern hemisphere and a wetter forecast in the western wheat belt has put the trade on defensive. Funds have been sellers of 12,000 beans, 16,000 wheat, and 10,000 corn contracts. Corn's down 6 to 7, beans down 18 to 25, and the wheat market down 10 to 15 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are slumping today. We'll see what's affecting Wall Street.
Stock Picker Monday. We'll have a pair of suggestions from an investment pro.
Walmart adds installation services for furniture and electronics, while Macy's is set to add mobile checkout.
A body found inside a crashed car is identified as a North Suburban man who's been missing for 2 weeks.
Police in Austin, Texas believe they may be dealing with a serial bomber following 4 explosions in the city over the past 2 weeks.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 449 points, the NASDAQ off 183, S&P 500 down by 51.
AccuWeather says intervals of clouds and sun, increasingly windy, noticeably cooler than yesterday, a high of 47 inland, 42 along the lakefront. It's 44 degrees in Chicago, and the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, stocks are much lower today. We're joined by Steve Esposito, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Steve, this is alarming looking at some of these numbers today. How do you get through a day like this?
You just sit back, relax, and maybe open a window, get some fresh air, and just ride it out right now. This is more emotional than fundamental, I think, in most cases, except, of course, the tech sector is, you know, leading this down right now. So you just got to take a deep breath and look at the long-term factor and understand the economy is doing wonderfully, and things will come back in line at some point.
In fact, when there's a sell-off, isn't that a possible time for opportunities for investing?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. There's some opportunities out there in the marketplace that I think represent some good values across the board. And obviously, many of them are a much bigger opportunity today than they were on Friday. But understand, the economic data we've been getting is fantastic. The jobs report, the manufacturer survey, it's all very, very good. So you may want to look for some bargains in this market if you're in a position to deploy some capital.
And those would include what?
Well, look at the sectors in general. I mean, those sectors of the economy that will do well if the economy continues to grow. I mean, without getting specific, you can just look at the energy sector in general. It just continues to get beat up. It's getting hit again today, even though oil is around $62 a barrel. Hopefully, demand throughout the world will go up. Look at the consumer discretionary sector, which you've had some pretty good news there across the board. No one seems to care right now, but we've seen it. Starting to see some bids in those industries across the board, the financial sector. I mean, there's just... there's numerous sectors, and really go for individual companies within various sectors, subgroups, towards some bargains. Some very low multiple stocks with some nice dividends out there. If the market stops going down and we start to get a broader-based rally going forward, many of those companies can do pretty well.
Facebook getting caught up in an investigation, the special counsel's investigation. There will be a lot of twists and turns. There will be a lot of leaks. This is not going to go away anytime soon. So with that constant drip, 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 could that really drag on the tech sector for an appreciable period of time?
I think absolutely. They've been talking about it for a while, but just in general, I think it's affecting the psyche of the market in general. You've got all this noise coming out of Washington, political and otherwise. You got distractions because of what may or may not happen in the world of tariffs. We still don't know what really is going to happen when it's all said and done, a pot of potential war. So there's a lot of noise affecting investors, and they're nervous right now. As a result of that, some are probably selling. The algorithms aren't helping matters either right now, the algo traders. I'm sure affecting this, but I can tell you I haven't received any calls from anybody to liquidate any positions based on the news over the weekend. Nothing. So, again, I think take a deep breath and look for some opportunities because there are some really good bargains out there.
But before we take that deep breath, I do have one more question regarding the impact on not only on Facebook but on Google, because when you talk about information gleaned through profiles or information gleaned through web searches and then using those that information and sell it to advertisers or present it to advertisers as this is how you can reach your targeted audience, that's now under the spotlight, and that's their core business. So how do you see the tech sector, or at least that portion of the tech sector, changing potentially long-term because of this?
Well, the government's been talking about it for a while, looking at this sector, so we don't really know what they're eventually going to do. But remember, right now, everything's moving based on emotion. We don't know what the end result's going to be, from whether it be regulation or no regulation. So if the sheep first and ask questions later is what's really affecting the market. The volatility is back. And that's the part that disturbs me as an investor going forward and a financial advisor. Don't let the day-to-day moves based on a headline affect your decisions, because that's what people are doing. Headline investing is not what you want to do. But yeah, there probably will be more scrutiny going forward, but to what degree and how will it affect earnings? How will it affect the company's businesses in general? We just don't know that yet. So there's too many people quick to cast judgment on what's going on and to really know what it is. Remember, a couple years ago, in 2015, 2016, the economy was heading down because China was slowing. We were going to go into global recession, and technology in general is pretty much down in the dumps back then. And look what happened. That was a rush to judgment, and of course it never materialized. So I would just focus on the long term and do not get caught up in a headline here and there, because there's too much of it. It just is.
There, let's throw in politics for a minute. You know, the arguments that officials are having with the White House. Does that have anything to do with this?
I'm sure, you know, the markets just don't like uncertainty, and there's a lot of noise. And the markets don't like that in general on a short-term basis. The average investor, the average, I think, American doesn't like the constant whatever it is, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. The markets like to see some consistency in what's going on. And again, I do believe most of this is noise, and that's something you should base your investment decisions wholeheartedly on. I still think you sit back, understand that interest rates are going to go up. We know that. It's been clear. And what investments will be affected by rising interest rates in a positive and negative way. And put together a portfolio looking out long-term based on a great economy, better than people expected. I mean, we had 313,000 jobs created last month. Nobody seemed to care. I mean, it did it today, but that's not being the focus. The University of Michigan survey released shows consumer sentiment at a 14-year high. People have more money in their pocket. More jobs are being created. People, the wealth factor, there's a whole bunch of factors we should all feel good about rather than worried about what that boogeyman is right around the corner is going to come get us all. I think you should look at the fundamentals, look for value in companies, and invest in those with a 3 to 5 year time horizon. And do not let this day-to-day stuff affect you. It's just wrong.
Well, thank you very much. Steve Esposito, Senior Vice President, Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, financial advisor, bartender, and therapist today, apparently. just advising caution. Don't get thrown by the headlines. Everybody just take a deep breath. Coming up next, Macy's works towards easier checkout while Walmart wants to help customers put it all together.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A couple of big stories in retail today involving Walmart and Macy's. Let's get the latest from Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, welcome back to the program. Walmart is trying to get the edge in the retail space. If you buy a TV or a piece of furniture from them, they will send somebody by to build it for you. So will the increase in sales justify the expense?
Well, the increase in sales justify the expense. That's an interesting question, and I don't know the answer to that. I bet they don't either, and I bet they don't care. What they're trying to do is be more competitive day in and day out with Amazon. Walmart's the biggest player in the space. Amazon's the biggest player online. Walmart doesn't want to lose that position of primacy. They want younger customers to shop with them. Younger customers don't want to assemble their own furniture, and they're offering them an alternative. So I'm not so sure it's like, does this make money for me, as does this protect my position in the industry? And I think you'll find that they'll continue to do things like that that make them much more directly competitive and interesting versus Amazon. This is just one of those moves.
And then Macy's is rolling out mobile checkout later this year. How is that going to work?
Well, Macy's has been experimenting with a whole lot of stuff in a store they have in Woodbridge, New Jersey, to see what works with the consumer to make them more interesting, again, with that younger consumer. And instant checkout, for lack of a better word, is the kind of thing they'd like to do. We know Amazon's already doing Amazon Go. They're not rolling that out yet, but it's something they've got in test. And so as Macy looks at these things that will make them more interesting, they want to be able to check people out faster and make it more pleasant, be able to use your phone to check out, things like that. They're also looking at much more virtual reality as far as selling product. They're doing that in the furniture department. So it's another case of where they look around and say, we have to be competitive with Amazon. Amazon moved into apparel. That's our biggest product. Amazon's, for Wayfair in particular, of course, has moved into online furniture, but, you know, so is Amazon. So they're just looking at things to keep their business more relevant, to be able to keep their stores more interesting, and to make it easier for the customer, because they want to sell it to you where you are, when you want it, at a price you can afford to pay. And if they can do that, they can be competitive with online. And so you'll see every retailer doing that. Macy's is just fortunate in that they've got plenty of capital. They're a strong business. They've got lots of stores that people visit already. They have a strong brand. And now they're just trying to enhance that with new things through technology. You'll see them test all kinds of stuff. And the things that work, they'll just roll out to the consumer to get the consumer more and more interested.
All right. At a time when stores like Toys R Us and Claire's are dying. Jan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Jan Rogers-Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. We are joined by David Brady, president of Brady Investment Counsel in Bloomington. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, David. What's your first pick today?
How about Archer Daniels Midland? We like this one in a pretty crazy market. It's a food processing company, and demand for its end product, or, you know, food, is a pretty stable thing to forecast. Archer Daniels is in the commodity side of the business, so pricing tends to be a little volatile. Positively, and why we're making a pick today is we think we're on the right side of the volatility. We expect their sales to increase over the next couple of years and earnings to increase in kind of a high teens type rate. So at maybe 15 times forward earnings and a 3% dividend yield in this kind of a market, we think it's a good one for the portfolio.
And then let's moving from agriculture to the retail space once again.
Right.
Your second one is the Container Store.
Yeah, this is an organizational products company. It's not terribly well known. It's a small cap company. We recommend a small cap company today just to increase awareness to the space in general. I mean, this market's been dominated by large cap growth companies, and we think at some point there will be a rotation back to small caps. So something like the Container Store Group that really is very strong within its product category, expected to increase sales to really increase earnings. I mean, I think we're looking at 25% plus type earnings per share growth in the next couple of years. Again, you have a very modest multiple, especially relative to the growth. It's, say, 15 times. It's a very well-run company. The people who shop there absolutely love the product. You know, there's good competition, but they differentiate themselves through their closet offerings, and we think this is a good one.
And the Container Store Group, the symbol is TCS. It's trading at $5.48 per share.
Thanks for being with us, David. David Brady is president of the the Brady Investment Council in Bloomington. You will find past programs later today, a podcast at this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a look at the markets. Here's Adrian Mitchell.
And still way lower stocks, Chris. The Dow down 408 points. That's now 1.6%. NASDAQ down 177, more than 2%. And the S&P down 48 points, or 1.75%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also down nearly 1.5%. Facebook shares largely to blame. Those shares are sliding almost 7% on reports of how a firm connected with the 2016 Trump campaign got information on tens of millions of Facebook users without their permission. Facebook's tumble is weighing on other tech shares, NASDAQ seeing the steepest losses of the major indexes. Uber says it is putting a halt to all testing of its self-driving cars after a woman was hit and killed in Tempe, Arizona last night. It's believed to be the first pedestrian fatality involving a driverless vehicle. It's also suspending testing in Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Toronto. Macy's wants to let you skip the line when you pay. It's launching a mobile checkout feature on Macy's in-store app that lets customers scan items with their smartphone camera and then pay using the card they have registered. With business at 25 and 55 live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.